Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Terry Thorne delivers the message entitled, Sabbath, Making Room for God. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our second reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, starting at chapter 11, verse 28, and then reading into chapter 12 through verse 8. And I will say that the first part of this reading is very familiar, but the second part was one of those where I had to take pause and remind myself that I had read that before. It came to me new this time. I hope and pray that it will come to you new as well. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Let us pray. Oh God, we do come before you this morning giving thanks and praise for the opportunity to be in worship, to be together in worship, to hear your word as it is read and sung and proclaimed and prayed. We ask that your spirit would be among us and that you would truly silence all that is within us except for your voice, and that you would speak to us such that we would hear exactly what you want us to hear today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's such a simple instruction, yet perhaps the most difficult of the Ten Commandments for us to really appreciate, embrace, and live well. Rather than receiving the Sabbath as an incredible gift from God, actually as an opportunity to encounter God, to hear God, to experience God, to be transformed by God, we tend instead to limit our concept of Sabbath keeping to a list of rules about our work and our activity and our worship. When I was growing up, there were so many things that we were not allowed to do on Sundays. Of course, we went to church. That was a non-negotiable every Sunday. Church, followed by lunch at Mamaw and Papaw's, and then family time or naps. Period. Now, if we were lucky, maybe we would get some neighbor visiting time out on the porch. But for sure, no one worked on Sundays. No one shopped on Sundays. There were no organized sports on Sundays. If you played anything, it was hide and seek or tag in your backyard. Now, my papaw and my uncles, they were all farmers, but they did not enter the fields on Sundays. no matter what the Monday forecast or how late in the season it was getting to be. So honestly, as a child, I dreaded Sundays because they were so boring. And our family was pretty strict about the rules. Now looking back, it was probably not the worst thing to have been raised with those family values. But I do believe that like the Israelites and the Pharisees and generations of God's people, we missed the mark on what God intended when he planted this commandment right smack dab in the middle of the list, dividing the statements about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. I mean, Jesus's ministry, in which he often violated the Sabbath laws, makes it clear that the commandment to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy was never rooted in a strict list of do's and don'ts of things that would make you more or less holy. In fact, none of these commandments were intended for that purpose. They were, in essence, the identifiers, the markers, if you will, of this newly forming community of God's chosen people. So the holiness of Sabbath was meant to be a reminder to the Hebrew slaves that their God, the God who sent Moses to free them, the God who, to whom they now belong, was not like any other God. Now keep in mind, these were people who belonged to a master that was not only driven and cruel, but who ruled with an insatiable, anxiety-driven appetite to accumulate. Pharaoh's demand for production and amassed wealth on the backs of others reflected the Egyptian gods that he served. He forced slaves into hard labor without rest, even handicapping them at times by making their work more difficult than it really had to be. It was all in his attempt to earn favor with or satisfy the demands of gods who are never going to be satisfied. The slaves to whom these commandments were given came from a culture of scarcity. They only knew one way of being. They only understood one mindset. Build, 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 give, 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 prove, 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 never enough, never enough, never enough. And then along comes this God of abundance who sees them and hears them and frees them and provides for them and says, no, that's not the way things are meant to be. You belong to me now. I will be your God, and you will be my people. You don't give or do or produce in order to please me or earn favor. Instead, I will give to you because you're mine, because I love you. I don't need anything from you other than your trust and your faithfulness. Now, if we had time to dig deep into the Exodus story, we would see that these people, these slaves, routinely failed to live into their new identity. But we will also see how God kept loving them anyway, providing for them anyway, and giving them repeated chances, 40 years worth, to be transformed from enslaved to free. And not just free from Pharaoh's grip, but free from the entire system and mindset of Egypt. The Hebrews were set free of the need to produce in order to please, free from this wealth-driven hierarchy of value, free from the culture of disregard for human dignity and lack of concern for the community's well-being. The command to honor the Sabbath, to rest in the same way their God rested, to be still and still be valuable, was and is a gift from God, given to those whom God chooses as his own, both the Israelites and through Christ, us. The freedom to rest in the knowledge that we are already and unconditionally loved by God, that's what it means to belong to God. It's what makes our God, the God of boundless mercy and steadfast love, the God who is committed to covenantal relationships, that's what makes our God different than all the others. There's nothing that we must produce or earn to be his, to be loved, to be valued. Now, undoubtedly, this truth about God was the most difficult thing the freed slaves had to learn in their new reality. I mean, given the life that they had under Pharaoh, how could they fathom such a generous, faithful, and loving God? In fact, trusting in God's abundance and waiting on God's timing and believing in God's goodness was so foreign to their self-understanding that more than once, in short-sighted fear, they pleaded to go back to the scarcity of Egypt. And frankly, if we're brutally honest, it continues to be the most difficult thing for all generations to learn. It is why, even now, despite the freedom Christ offers us, we often live as if we are still serving the gods of scarcity in Egypt. We're pressured and tempted every single day to believe the messaging of the false god of not good enough. We measure ourselves by what we can produce, gain, or attain. We mistakenly believe that our meaning and our purpose is tied up in what we know, or who we know, or what we have, or what we do. We secretly equate in our minds our belovedness with perfection or performance, or maybe both. And as a society, friends, we are so adapted to easy access, quick fixes, self-sufficiency, and instantaneous results that we have all but forgotten how to be still and wait on God. Instead of listening for God's leading, we allow the voices of fear and anxiety to stir us into action, often taking matters into our own hands rather than just trusting that God will provide. Folks, I'm just going to say it. We buy the lies that the other gods are selling. The good news is that God has graciously and mercifully given us the gift and holiness of Sabbath to help us counter those lies. And not through a set of rules or regulations, and not for a certain number of hours or days per week, and not just on Sunday, and not as a prescribed standard that we must live up to. The way we honor the Sabbath and keep it holy is to trust in the love and grace and mercy of the Sabbath keeping, Sabbath giving, Sabbath commanding God, revealed to us through the scripture and made incarnate in Jesus Christ. Yes, Sabbath keeping allows us to follow God's own example of taking time away from creating and producing in order to rest. But there's more to it than just resting our bodies and our minds for the sake of rest. It also gives us reason to trust in God's abundant provision, not ourselves. And it reminds us that we are the beloved of God's heart. And those Sabbath-keeping moments bring us to a new level of peace. Sabbath also invites us to learn to be still and create space for God's love to work in our lives. Keeping Sabbath is a way of making room in our hearts for Jesus, for the Lord of the Sabbath, to lead and love and transform us. See, God has given us the gift of Sabbath so that we would have the quiet place to learn, the quiet place to learn how to trust that we're free, to learn to trust that we are loved, the place to learn that we're enough. Sabbath creates the stillness in which we can hear God's voice, where we encounter God's presence, and through which we will know and experience God in our lives and in our relationships. There is something so very holy and so very worshipful about slowing down and quieting ourselves in order to be open to God. It's very freeing to declutter our lives of the things and schedules and noises and expectations that bind us. And the power that we gain, the power within us when we diminish our ego and deny the tyranny of the urgent so that we can gain clarity about God's will, so that we can experience the depth and the fullness of God's love, and so that we can live the life that God intends for us as we love God and we love each other. No, I'm just going to be honest. I am no expert on living an ongoing Sabbath lifestyle. In fact, I'm among the American Christians who haven't kept Sabbath very well. And I know this about myself. And some of you know it as well. I can be very task-driven. And there's a part of me that does not do still and quiet naturally. There's a voice in my head which has been there for almost 6 decades, telling me that to not be productive is to be lazy. And to not contribute something of value is to be of no value as a human being. Now, how I got this warped belief, and trust me, I know it's warped, that's not really important. But the fact is that because it's there, I have to make intentional effort to keep Sabbath. And I need lots of grace when I do not. Thankfully, over the past several years, and after a painful season of burnout and compassion fatigue, God has been impressing upon me the importance of slowing down my pace, of waiting on His provision instead of taking matters into my own hands and fixing it, and finding my worth in Jesus Christ rather than in the opinions of others. It's been a long journey with many bumps along the way. It's a journey I'm still taking. In fact, learning to be still, which is also fondly known as take a pause before taking an action, is the focus of my Lenten discipline this year, and it will continue far beyond Easter Sunday. Because, friends, if the Israelites didn't learn it in 40 years in the wilderness, it's not quite likely I'm going to learn it in the 40 days of Lent. But I'm not alone. And as America enters into what's shaping up to be a highly charged, ugly, divisive election cycle, and as anxiety about what's happening in the world and in our nation and even in our neighborhoods, as that's increasing, and as this congregation is being asked to trust God during the interim time, I know I'm not alone on this journey. And many of you have expressed to me recently a similar call and desire for learning to be still before God. So, church, I believe the Holy Spirit is at work. And she's stirring us toward the need to practice Sabbath, calling us once again, leave the madness of proverbial Egypt behind and embrace the gift of Sabbath. Trust the God who gives it to us and present ourselves to the Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, who rules in the quietness of our hearts and transforms us into the people God created us to be. The Apostle Paul wrote about transformation in his letter to the Romans, and it seems to be a fitting call to the church today. And so I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase, because I believe he captures the importance and blessing of observing Sabbath as a way of life in a comfortable way that we can all relate to. So Paul writes, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping and eating and going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you." Friends, Sabbath keeping is how we resist the culture. It is how we place our whole life before God as an offering. It is how we fix our attention on God. And in times of Sabbath quiet, which might be 2 minutes, 2 days, every time we stop and be still, God releases our anxiety and equips us for whatever life will bring our way. But maybe the most important thing of all about keeping Sabbath as a way of life is because in moments of Sabbath, we are our truest selves. We are most like the image of God that is within us. We are most like the one who created for 6 days and then rested and called that time holy and blessed. So at the heart of living a Sabbath life, whatever works for you, is that we trust. That we trust in the gracious, merciful love of God revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ. And together, we just keep practicing. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.